back to left corner to Aguilla. Aguilla to the left circle. Passing to Yell. A shot. Save made by Aguilla. Rebound. Another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score! And the sea of red erupts!
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers.
Okay, happy Thursday, and welcome to this hour of Flames Talk. It is Thursday, October 17th, and we're underway on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome to Cowboys, and welcome to the Eric Francis Pizza Pigout 2024. More on that as we continue. Welcome aboard, and hopefully you're having yourself a good week. Flames not back in action until they play Saturday in Seattle, but that doesn't mean that we're lacking any news. In fact, I gotta say, I did not expect to wake up. I didn't wake up to this news, but I didn't expect to get this news on Thursday, because I think the news came out in the afternoon on Thursday, so that would have been strange if I was waking up to it. But I was not expecting to get this news on Thursday. The Flames announced Thursday that Sam Honzek is week to week with an upper body injury. And I just feel awful for him, honestly, for a guy that had to deal with so many injuries. And while last year in Vancouver in the Western League wasn't a complete lost year for Honzek, it was still a really frustrating year for him. And it was a year that didn't get the full development that it could have, or he didn't get the full development he could have because he had an injury that he sustained in his first NHL training camp, and then upon returning sustained another injury. So last year really frustrating from an injury standpoint for the 2023 first round pick. Then he has this incredibly positive training camp, and training camp in the preseason, such a positive for Honzek, one of the biggest surprises that we've seen at a Flames training camp in a long, long time, earns a spot out of camp, and then out of camp, he ends up being on the opening day roster, and in some minds, on the opening day top line with Nazem Kadri and Andre Kuzmenko. And while Honzek has yet to record a point in his NHL career, to me, he's looked just fine. And to me, he's been very, very in place. The only game looks like he's in the right place and looks like he belongs in the NHL. And the only game that I've felt so far that maybe he was a little more invisible in was the game on Tuesday night against Chicago, which just so happens to be the night that he sustained the injury. And we believe that the injury was sustained on that collision with Connor Murphy when Honzek went to initiate contact, and Murphy, the older, stronger guy, he met the contact and Honzek got belted. We saw the reaction from Sam on the bench after that. And so it's an upper body injury for Honzek, and I just feel awful for the dude. Feel really bad that this is the way that things are going so early in his first NHL season, and things temporarily sidetracked. Doesn't sound like the Flames are, he's considered week to week, which is just more than day to day. You're like, oh, thanks, genius. But yeah, he's considered week to week, which means he's not coming back right away, but doesn't also mean that we're talking about a 4 to 6 week thing either. You know, I think we're talking more about 2 weeks, 3 weeks, something like that. So still temporary sidelined is we're still talking about temporarily being sidelined is Sam Honzek. So that more than anything else, I just feel awful for the dude. And I really hope it's a quick recovery. Flames Talk's underway on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Text line's open at 960-960. I do have to, I can't let him off the hook.
I know
for
you
this.
Can't.
I can't let you off the hook for this. We had technical issues and we started late. Look, sometimes I am an absolute mess coming in, and I'll crack the mic. I'll literally walk over into the studio, crack the mic, and boom, we're ready to go. Cam and Shan give me a hard time about it all the time. But But 4:10 p.m. is when Vickers shows up.
I sprinted in. I am muting my mic so you don't have to hear my heavy breathing right now. And then I sprinted the wrong way.
I know. You went the wrong way up onto the stage here at Cowboys. Take your you got some time to catch your breath.
A little composure?
Catch your breath. You're good. I'm only giving you a hard time because we've all had it happen to us. Traffic and life gets in the way. But, you know, we have to chirp a little bit.
And a guy on a quasi-motorcycle but pedal bike, for the record.
That is like one of those e-bikes.
I'm not sure if it was powered by anything other than pedals, but he sure looked like he was riding a Harley.
You know, sometimes I like the e-bikes seem awesome, but at the same time, you can't sit here and tell me that that's exercise, those e-bikes. Like, they kick in when you're going up hills. That's when you get the most exercise on a bike. So you can't sit here and tell me that an e-bike is great exercise, but you know what? That's a topic more for the summertime. You've got some time.
Okay, buddy, I appreciate that.
I just needed to, you know, I know we're on podcast, so for a lot of people, they wouldn't have known that he's late, but for those listening live on 960 AM, well, we had to chirp a little bit, but I held down the fort. Plus, we had some technical issues, which bought you about 5 minutes as well.
Thank goodness.
Because, you know, that's
well,
what
not
we
thank
do
goodness
here.
For technical problems, but I digress.
What do we got here at 960 as it really does it really is too bad that Sam Honzek has to miss a little bit of time here. This says from Mick, Honzek lost half a year of development last year. He's not ready for the NHL. He should be playing with the Wranglers. Now, Sam turns 20 next month, and who knows where this goes when he's ready to return. But I do want to ask you, Steinberg and Vickers now along with you on Flames Talk. What did you like? Did you have any problem with the hit that Murphy laid on Honzek?
No.
Okay.
Not at all. It was... I don't even think he fully 100% initiated the contact on it. He was just the guy that sort of delivered the brunt of the force.
Yeah. And Honzek went to deliver the hit, and Connor Murphy's just a bigger dude. There was no head contact there. It was straight up to kind of the high midsection where Murphy got him, and Honzek took a belt. I wasn't expecting to hear news about him being out for a significant amount of time. I was actually more focused on Pospisil or Coleman or Uyghur. All three of them practiced on Thursday morning in Canmore for the Flames. The Honzek news being week to week was not the one I had my radar on or not the one that I was expecting or interested to hear news on. So a little bit of a surprise, and as I said a little earlier, I feel awful for the dude the way that the first year in the organization went. So I hope this is a speedy recovery for Sam Honzek.
Yeah, the injury issues with Sam Honzek last year as a member of the Vancouver Giants was certainly one that we've talked about quite a bit. And to be quite honest, I fully feel like it derailed his development somewhat. Now, he's managed to very clearly put himself back on track and had an amazing training camp, but you hate four games into the regular season, he sustains another injury and is now going to miss a little bit of time. But this one, it feels a little bit different to me. One, week to week isn't as disastrous as some of the other injuries he's had to deal with. And two, he's going to be in Calgary. And he's going to be able to watch games. And I think that's very important for a young player, not just to play games, but to watch games and observe from up top. And the Saddle Dome has the best vantage point in the league, both for media and for players, where you can see things a little bit differently than from ice level and realize maybe you have more time and space. You can sort of see how plays develop. You can see even better how the system is supposed to be executed for Ryan Huska and the Calgary Flames. So while, you'd rather have him playing games, you'd rather have him participating in practice, not all is lost on this one.
I feel awful for you. You are just huffing it. You didn't have to bust.
Pinnacle of fitness, buddy.
You didn't need to sprint full on. I did have it covered. You were all right. The obvious choice here to jump into Honzek's spot on that line with Kadri and Kuzmenko is the choice the Flames are going with, and that choice is Matt Coronato. So practice on Thursday, he was with Kadri and Kuzmenko. I think that we'll see that again on Friday, and then Saturday in Seattle, you can bet that's the way they're going to go as well. And Matt deserves it. I think the coaching staff and management group believe he's earned this opportunity, and that's why I always say, Vix, you know, as we were talking throughout training camp and as we were doing post-game shows throughout the preseason and reading the text line throughout the preseason, so on and so forth, we did hear a lot of, well, how is player X going to make the lineup, or what does this mean for player Y? Well, That's why I say don't get too worked up about training camp. Don't get too worked up about who is on the opening night roster, because inevitably it will change. Kevin Rooney goes down in game one, and now Sam Hanzek goes down in game four. This is the National Hockey League. Guys get hurt. It's as elite athletes as these human beings are, and they are, it still is even more physical and even more high impact in 2024 than it ever has been. Guys will get hurt on all 32 teams. You never want to see it happen, and you hope that they're all minor things that don't keep players out very long, but injuries are a rolling thing throughout the year. And so, Matt Coronato doesn't start the year on the opening night lineup, gets in for game three, has two really good games, and now is going to get moved up the lineup. That's going to bring Klapka back in, all those types of things. You know, inevitably, these things do tend to work themselves out with a sport as physical and a sport as demanding and punishing as professional hockey, the highest level professional hockey is.
Well, I know how much fun we have over the course of the summer drawing up line combinations and what could the roster look like, so on and so forth. And we're not the only ones guilty of it. I'm sure Ryan Huska is guilty of it. Craig Conroy is guilty of it. But the fact of the matter remains, and you don't even have to look too far. You can look to training camp last year when Jacob Pelletier and Kevin Rooney went down
exactly
like back to back. And so you just kind of have to wait and bide your time if you're a young player, even if you're a veteran that was sort of on the bubble, because, injuries do happen. It's not unique to the Calgary Flames, as you mentioned. 32 teams are going to go through it all throughout the season, and that's why you need to be 15, 16 forwards deep and 8, 9 defensemen deep, because injuries come, and they're arbitrary, they're random. You can't plan for them, obviously, and when one guy goes down, that's why it's so cliche, but one injury is another player's opportunity. It's a cliche for a reason, because somebody has to step into the lineup, and it's an opportunity for them to show. Matt Coronato, who looked really good at the start of training camp, maybe tailed off as the competition got a little bit stiffer, but he gets back into a game, like you mentioned, looked really good for two games, and now opportunity again for him.
Yeah, doors open all the time in this league, and here's another one that opens up. And this was head coach Ryan Huska Thursday morning on Matt Coronato, moving on to that line with Kadri and Kuzmenko.
I think he'll be just fine. He just keep playing the same way he's played the last two games. Nothing has to change because he's on a different line or wearing a different color in practice. Just play the same way. And he's had success because he's been tenacious, and he's been a responsible player. So just do the same thing he's been doing.
This is what success has looked like for Matt Coronato. His on-ice metrics, this is what the Flames have done with Matt Coronato on the ice at 5-on-5 in two games. They've been a 55.3% possession team, 5-on-5 shot attempts, 26-21 in favor of the Flames with Coronato out there. They've outscored the opposition 3-0. Expected goals over 69%, very nice. High-danger scoring chances, 8-2 in favor of the Flames when he's been out there, and that's all with a 36.8% offensive zone start. So, you know, Matt Coronato and that line have made an impact. He's made an impact individually in two games at 5-on-5, 6 shot attempts, 2 shots on goal, 5 scoring chances, 3 high danger chances. Coronado's been an impact maker, and he's been doing that with 11, 12 minutes of ice time, and he's been doing that on the fourth line, 5-on-5. Now, he's played with Kadri before. He was kind of stapled to Kadri for most of his first month in the NHL last year, and now has an opportunity to play with two drivers in Kadri and Kuzmenko. We know how skilled Kuzmenko is. We know how much of a driver Kadri is. So I'm excited to see how Matt is able to continue his momentum after a really nice start to his season on, you know, in a spot a little further down the depth chart.
And I like Ryan Huska's messaging to Matt Coronato. I'm sure he's saying the same things to Matt Coronato directly as he is to the media, where just keep playing your game. Keep playing exactly the way that you've been playing, because taking that approach has earned you the promotion to align with Kadri and Kuzmenko. And to be quite honest, that combination with Kirkland and Ryan Lomberg, as you mentioned, you ran through the individual stats for Matt Coronato, but that can be extrapolated a little bit to that line as a whole, because they've spent the majority of their time, it feels like, in the offensive zone, despite being a quote-unquote fourth line. So if you're Matt Coronato and you suddenly look at the line chart when you show up at practice on Thursday morning and you see you've been elevated to what we can debate to be whether or not it's
he's been elevated from the fourth line onto one of the top three lines. And right now, they've got three number one lines, three number two lines, whatever you want to call it.
Yep.
They've got three lines that on any given night could be considered the number one line.
So keep doing what you're doing. Keep being first in on the forecheck, being tough to play against, put pressure on defense, find open spots in the offensive zone, and finish. And he's played quite well from a 200-foot perspective, but we saw last game where he scores two goals, gets the empty netter, earns the trust of Coach Ryan Huska to be in a position to earn two shifts in the final 4 minutes to try and close out that 3-1 victory against the Chicago Blackhawks. Keep doing what you're doing to earn the coach's trust, because that's what's elevated you up.
Yeah, 100%. And you know, the other thing is he's had a really nice fall so far, going back to training camp and some of his preseason games, but Coronado also looks like he's in better shape to continue to be effective over the course of an 82-game season. Like, remember, last year, started off really well, scored his first NHL goal in his second NHL game, and it gradually tailed off to the point that after the Heritage Classic, he was sent to the American League for the first time. Coronado looks more like he's ready to stay at the NHL level for the entire season, which is really positive. And this also opens up the door for Adam Klapka to get back in as well. It opens up the door for Justin Kirkland to stay on the NHL roster for the time being. Like, we've asked for 2 days, talked for 2 days on the roundtable about, hey, how do you keep Kirkland up? We didn't know this Hanzak news was coming. And so you're like, okay, well, we were talking about Hanley, or are we talking about other potential moves they could make? Well, the Hanzak injury happens, he goes to IR, and you can instantly put or keep Kirkland in his spot and activate Rooney in a few days. And sounds like Rooney is decently close to returning, so I'm guessing we don't see a recall here, and thus you just activate Rooney, and bam, you're at 23 again with a few guys on IR.
And I want to touch on Adam Klapka a little bit, because after two games, obviously, he was the one that came out of the lineup for Matt Coronado, but I don't think that was so much an indictment on how Adam Klapka was playing, so much as you wanted a little bit of a faster team going in to play the Edmonton Oilers, and lo and behold, Matt Coronado did seize that opportunity, managed to parlay it into two games, and then parlay it to the elevation to the top line with Nazem Kadri and Andrei Kuzmenko. But for Adam Klapka, again, we talk about opportunity. This is a chance for him to get back into the lineup and show a lot of what he did in that fourth line role when he was playing with Lomberg and primarily with Kirkland. But for everyone, Kirkland gets to stay up. Klapka gets back in the lineup. Coronado gets elevated. All of these are opportunities for these players to either show or continue to show what they've done in this young season.
On the text line, 960-960, the Hanzak injury reminds me of the Bedard hit that broke his jaw last year. Bit of the welcome to the NHL hit that young guys need to learn to navigate sometimes. Jay writes, Pat, what are the waiver rules that the Flames eventually called up Pelche? Would he need to go through waivers on the way back if he got sent down again? That's from Jay in Creekside. The answer to that question is no, if he is on the roster for less than 30 days and or 10 games, whatever comes first. The minute you pass 10 games on the NHL roster or 30 days on the NHL roster, your waiver exemption expires and your eligibility resets. So, you know, you do have a little bit of a window there where he would not have to clear waivers. Dave in Calgary says, guys, when's Sharon Govich due back, and where will they play him? And I don't think he's too far off. Like, he was week to week. We're a week into the season, so we're probably still talking about another week or two for Sharon Govich to come back. But where he slots in, it doesn't even – and I'm not trying to avoid the question, but again – injuries are rolling. I have no idea who's going to be hurt and not hurt when Sharon Govich is ready to go. If it's right now, I'd probably put him right back where he was slated to start, and that's with Kadri and Kuzmenko, even though Coronado's there right now. This says, put Zeri back up with Kadri and Coronado, and Coronado can play with Backlund and Coleman. Maybe they do end up doing that. Kyle writes, it's better to be cautious now with Hanzak than risk permanent injury or career-changing injury. It's a good call. This says I'd rather see Klapka and Coronado get more regular season playing time than Sam. He's made no visual impression on me since the start of the season. This one says I'd rather, no, I just read that one. This reads, hurt or not, some American League time will be a positive for Hanzak in the long run. Been missing the clapper, too. That comes from Chris in Vernon. And finally, Francesca writes in, AV sounds like he's fighting for his life.
Oh, that's a little harsh.
And there was a stretch there where I was a little like, did we need defibrillators? Like,
that's a little.
I was a little worried about your health for a second. I'm glad that it ended up working out, and now you sound like you're in good shape. So,
I wish I had my heart rate handy. I feel like it was okay. I'm like, don't worry out there on the text line at 960-960. I'm all right. Whenever Patrick is near me, my heart races a little bit regardless. Let's not get too carried away.
Dylan says, I still think Zeri deserves that bump. He's been so good. Coronado deserves a bump as well, but why not give Zeri the offensive upside line mates and give Coronado the Backlund bump? Well, the reason why is because Ryan Huska, I think, plotted this out prior to the summer and wants to see Zeri, Backlund, and Coleman for an extended stretch of time. And this from Mike, who says, another Mike, Hanzek looked great in the preseason, not so much in the regular season. I don't think he's ready. Well, for now, he's on the shelf week to week, so a couple of weeks out of the lineup for Hanzek, and hopefully he's able to return and still be able to compete and jump back in to an NHL lineup. It's Steinberg and now Vickers along with you here at Cowboys for the 2024 Fair. Eric Francis Pizza Pig Out. 1996 was the year the Eric Francis Pizza Pig Out began, and since that time, now in its 22nd year, this thing continues to grow larger and larger and larger, and this year all proceeds for the Eric Francis Pizza Pig Out goes to Kidsport Calgary and area. It is honestly one of the best events of the year. Look, tickets are have been mostly sold out, but if you want more information, and if you're interested in next year's event, ericfrancispizzapigout.com is the website, and go check out Kidsport Calgary as well. The other thing is, if you're listening right now over at ericfrancispizzapigout.com, the silent auction that's going on right now, including a Bobby Orr signed stick, that stays up for a little while. So even if you can't make it down to Cowboys on this Thursday and you're interested in next year, well, maybe you come to the event next year, but you can bid on some incredible events. Once again, the website for the 2024 Eric Francis Pizza Pig Out is ericfrancispizzapigout.com.
Flames Talk is on the air and streaming on the Sportsnet mobile app. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
Time now for the Daily Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. The simpler way to sell your vehicle is with their expertise. Visit Mercedes-Benz Country Hills just minutes from the airport. It's Steinberg, Aaron Vickers of NHL.com. Now the voice of the Flames, Derek Wills, joins us to complete our Daily Flames Roundtable. And gents, we got the news on Thursday that the Flames will be without Sam Hanzek week to week with an upper body injury, and we're presuming, but I think it's a safe presumption, that it all stems from the lick that he took from Chicago's Connor Murphy on Tuesday when Hanzek went to try to initiate contact and kind of lost that battle. So Hanzek on the shelf for the next couple of weeks, Matt Coronado elevated to his spot with Nazem Kadri and Andre Kuzmenko. You know, Wilsey, we talked a lot about that in the first half of this hour, but one thing we haven't really touched on is what we've actually seen from Hanzek in his first four NHL games. What have we made of Hanzek, his impact, how he's looked in his first four games at the highest level?
Well, first of all, I was just thinking, you know, for a team that's faced quite a bit of adversity this season, I think about all of the adversity they faced in that season opener versus the Canucks, and then the injuries. You lose your first-line left winger in Yegor Sharangovic before the season starts, and then your fourth-line centerman in Kevin Rooney in the first period of the first game, and now you lose your replacement first-line left winger in Sam Hanzek in the fourth game of the season. Now, pretty impressive. I think even more impressive that they've managed to win all four games they've played this season despite all that stuff. But as far as Sam Hanzek is concerned, you know, for me, he hasn't obviously been as dominant as he was in the preseason. I didn't expect him to be. You're playing against better players, better teams, and the guys are more engaged now that the games mean something. So I didn't expect him to be the Flames' top point producer in the first four games of the regular season like he was in the six or seven preseason games that he played in. And at times he's popped, but that hasn't been consistent for me. So he kind of looks like a guy who's just going around the league for the first time, a 19-year-old trying to get a feel for things. And, you know, he gets thrust from being the 13th forward to the first line left winger because of that Sharon Govich injury. So I think a lot to ask of Sam Hanzek, but on the flip side, a great opportunity to give the former first round pick. So for me, I guess the best way I could describe my impression of Sam Hanzek in his first four regular season games, he hasn't been overly impressive, but he's also kind of fit in. He hasn't looked out of place.
Yeah, for me, he's just looked okay, but when you're a first-line left winger in the NHL, okay doesn't necessarily cut it. And there's nothing significantly egregious about the way he's been playing. And through spurts of games, he's shown the size, he's shown the speed, he's shown really good puck protection skills. But the fact of the matter remains is he's gotten that opportunity alongside Kadri and Kuzmenko and has 0 points in four games to show for it. And you're right, Willsley. For me, he hasn't looked near as dominant in the regular season as he did in the preseason. And that's not a massive, significant shock when you jump from preseason action, which you'll often find split squad rosters or junior players and AHL players mixed in with the veteran minimum of 8 in preseason. And so things get a little faster. They get a little more intense. They get a little rougher. And again, I think Sam Hanzik has been okay. But given the role, given the opportunity, you've got to do more with it. And, yeah, you never want to see a player lose a spot because of injury. But I do think that if there is a silver lining, it's that Hanzik can study what an NHL regular season game looks like from a very, very good vantage point and use it to his advantage when he's back.
Guys, I mean, he's been fine to me. Like, I think the overall, like, yeah, I don't think any of us were expecting him when, you know, what, 600 NHL veterans flipped the switch from the preseason to the regular season. I don't think any, like, he wasn't playing with 70-60% intensity during the preseason. He was trying to make a team for the first time, so he was playing a preseason game the same way that he's trying to play regular season games. But then you've got guys on the other side who have played 300, 400, and 500 NHL games who know what their preseason's all about, and they do flip a switch when the calendar turns from preseason to regular season. And so then they're in a spot that then Hanzek's in a spot where he's facing that for the first time and playing with guys who have all flipped the switch, and the pace just takes, guys, it doesn't take a small step from the preseason. We all know it takes a massive step from the preseason to the regular season. So yeah, I think Willsey, the way you put it, is kind of going around the NHL for the first time and playing NHL regular season pace hockey for the first time. At times it did look like that, but generally I still felt like he could hang. I still felt like he could cut it. You take a look at some of his 5-on-5 metrics through four games, not incredible, but definitely right there in the mix and in the pack with other guys on the team. He's got 5 shots. He's got 5 shot attempts at 5-on-5. All 5 of his attempts have been scoring chances, and 3 of them have been high danger scoring chances. So he has been, he's been a guy who looks like the NHL isn't too much for him through 4 games, but he also hasn't been the same dominant guy he was prior to and during the preseason. So I'm curious to see how things evolve. While he's out, you know, does Sharon Govich come back while Hanzek's out? Decent chance at that. Are there other injuries that occur while Hanzek's out? You can never predict that type of stuff. So I'm just curious as to how the lineup evolves while Hanzek's on the shelf and what the decision-making process is like when he's ready to return. Do they send him back to the American League? Do they put him back into the NHL? You know, we don't know those answers yet because there's a lot of things that need to transpire in the next couple of weeks here while he is on the shelf. But I would say he's been just fine. For a 19-year-old playing in his first 4 NHL games, to me, he's been just fine. Not incredible, but definitely. I'll say this much, Willsey, as I throw it back to you. Prior to knowing about this injury today, I was very much against the idea of, oh, it's time for him to go to the American League, or even that it's time to demote him, because I really liked him in his first 3 games, all things considered. Thought he blended in a little bit more Tuesday against Chicago.
Yeah, I'm not sure I would go as far as saying I really liked him in the first 3 games. I thought he was fine, okay, in the first 3 games. The one thing I did notice is that he was deferring a lot more to start the regular season than he was when he looked like a more assertive player who was confident and not only willing to shoot the puck, but wanting to shoot the puck. And that's one of the reasons why he led the Flames in preseason points. So I wasn't seeing that guy often enough. And I'm not going to lie. I was wondering, and I think I even wondered aloud in that game against the Blackhawks on Tuesday, if he might get demoted to the fourth line or if they might give him a night off. And neither one of those things is an indictment on Sam Hanzek. He's 19 years old. There aren't a lot of teenagers playing in the NHL. And going through that grind for the first time, it can be a lot for a guy. So I think giving him a night off and giving him an opportunity to watch a game from the press box wouldn't be the worst thing in the world for Sam Hanzek. And, you know, he's a kid with a great attitude, and I think he would understand that and learn from that. I mean, you think of all the great players the Flames have had over the last decade or so, every single one of them has been a healthy scratch as a rookie. So it's certainly not unprecedented. So I was wondering if they might put him on the fourth line and use him on the power play or bump him up kind of like they had with Matt Coronato, with him playing well in that game against the Blackhawks. I wondered if they might just give him a night off and put somebody else in, whether it be Coronato or somebody else. But this injury pops up, and I guess those two options are off the table, at least for now. I certainly wouldn't be in a hurry to send him to the American Hockey League unless they feel like he needs to get up to speed again after he recovers from this injury. But, hey, he's 19 years old. He burst onto the scene in the preseason playing at a really high level. He hasn't played at that level, but I'm not sure anybody expected him to start the regular season. But one thing has become clear. There's a lot to like with Sam Hanzek's game, and I didn't feel that way before training camp started.
And Patty, you mentioned the pace jumping. Wilsey, you mentioned the grind. It worth bears mentioning as well that this is three games in four nights to start an NHL career for a guy that's only played at the WHL level. So it's understandable that he hasn't necessarily blown the doors off the way he did in the preseason. That's a lot of hockey for a guy that's learning his way as a teenager still.
It is our Daily Flames Roundtable with Derek Wills and Aaron Vickers. My name is Pat Steinberg. So we found out about Sam Hanzek. That'll get Adam Klapka back into the lineup. And it also, hey, there's our answer from Wednesday's Roundtable. How do they keep Justin Kirkland in the lineup and on the roster? Well, for the time being, we have our answer in that respect as well. Not expecting any recall. Sounds like Kevin Rooney is close, but you never know in that respect. But if Rooney is pretty close to returning, he's eligible to come off IR at any point. You wouldn't really need a recall in that respect if you're the Flames. So we'll see how that evolves as well. Flames practiced in Canmore on Thursday morning, and we did see the change of Klapka back in on the fourth line, Coronato up with Kadri, but then a little bit of a tweak on the back end as well with Daniil Miramanov getting the fourth pairing treatment. Miramanov right side with Joel Hanley on the left. We'll see if that continues at Friday's practice at Winsport. We'll see if that carries over into Saturday's game in Seattle. But guys, what have we made of Miramanov's start to the season?
I would probably use some of the same adjectives to describe Daniil Miramanov's start to the season that I just did to describe Sam Hanzek's start to the regular season. I feel like he's been fine. I feel like he's been okay. But I think it was you, Aaron, that said, okay is not good enough to play on the first line. Well, I'd say the same thing. Okay is probably not good enough to play on the first pairing. Now, I guess with the way Rasmus Anderson is playing, whoever he's playing with, which to start the season has been Kevin Ball, that's kind of turned into the first pairing. But you know, when I was numbering my pairings earlier in the season, I had Mackenzie Weegar on the left side of the first pairing with Daniil Miramanov, because I thought Weegar was clearly the Flames' best defenseman last season. So that's how I had my pecking order. But you know, whether it's the first pairing or the second pairing or 1A or 1B or whatever, now he's just been okay for me. So with the Flames' depth on defense, and I feel like it's more of a numbers game than anything else, I just think that you've got some other good options that you can rotate in. Jake Beam got a night off, and now it looks like Daniil Miramanov is going to get a night off. And the one question I've been thinking a lot about today, guys, is Daniil Miramanov, at this stage of his NHL career, a better player than Tyson Barrie? And it's something I've given a lot of thought to today. And I don't know if there's a right answer or a wrong answer. But, you know, for the last number of years, Tyson Barrie, the knock on him was he was making too much money, right? He was making $4.5 million. Now he's making, what, less than one quarter of that? I think the Flames got him on a really team-friendly contract. As I've said a bunch of times, since he became a full-time NHLer. He is seventh in the NHL in points by defensemen. This guy's been a really productive player in the league. Is he the best defensive defenseman? No. Is he a worse defensive defenseman than Daniil Mirimanov? I don't know. But I think he's better offensively at this point in his career, and I think he can help the Flames' second power play, a unit that's struggled for most of the season. So, guys, I'm not going to lie. The more I've thought about this today, and it's not because I don't think that Mirimanov can become a top-four guy because he's looked like one at times in the past, but I don't mind this swap at all.
No, this is the luxury of having seven or eight blue liners that you have confidence in as a head coach, and it just breeds the competition of you need to put out your best every single night because there's two guys sitting every single game that are chomping at the bit to get into the lineup. And for me, I've been lukewarm on Daniil Mirimanov. Goals 4-0 on the season, goals against 3. This is when he's been on the ice at 5-on-5. High danger chances for and against are identical at 15. To me, he hasn't necessarily moved the needle as much as I would hope that a partner for Mackenzie Weegar has. So if he does come out of the lineup in favor of Tyson Barry, I'm okay with it. If he stays in the lineup for the time being, and this is just a cautionary swap in practice, I'm okay with that too. But I would like to see a little bit more than we've seen to date out of Mirimanov.
Well, here's the thing. Last year, the pairing of Mirimanov and Weegar was really, really good analytically for them and kind of turned into that top pairing. Like, they were with a pretty, you know, like it was a below 50% offensive zone start for them, a little bit more than 47%. That pairing last year was almost 59% possession, or the Flames were when they were on the ice. High danger scoring chances, they were in the black. Expected goals, they were 56%. Like, that was a very good pairing last year. And so I understood why almost written in pen to start the year was Weegar and Mirimanov, because you're like, okay, we know what they did last year. Let's see if they can recreate that this year. Unfortunately, through four games, that has not been the case. It's been very clear that Anderson Ball has been the top pairing. They've played the hardest minutes. They've played the toughest competition, and their overall metrics, especially when it comes to scoring chances and goals for, goals against, they've been better with tougher competition. You know, Mirimanov and Weegar as a pairing have just been okay. And it goes back again to what you both have said, like, is okay good enough? Well, sometimes the answer is yes if you don't have a ton of depth. But if you've got a guy like Tyson Barry who's knocking on the door, and they've already, to your point, Wilson, they already rotated Jake Bean out, and Bean didn't really do anything wrong to lose his spot in Game 3 in Edmonton, but it was the second half of back-to-back. They wanted to get Barry in. They wanted to use their fresh legs. So Bean sat for a night, and then Barry came back out. Bean came back in. But if you're trying to keep all seven of your guys, and I know that we're not in including Hanley here, but I think that there is a bit of a drop between the seven and where Hanley is right now. So if you're trying to keep those top seven guys all fresh and you're never taking out a few of these guys, well, somebody has to sit out. And right now, I think the most just okay of the guys that we've seen who hasn't sat has been Mirimanov, and I think that's exactly what we're talking about. I'm not expecting this to be a long-term thing. There's going to be plenty of rotation, and I think it speaks volumes, Wilsey, that Barry was skating with Weegar on that pair, so that seems like a rotation that at some point Mirimanov comes right back in and plays with Weegar as well. But, yeah, I just think this is a product of keeping all seven of your guys that you believe are NHL defensemen, everyday NHL defensemen, keeping all seven of them fresh.
Yeah, and I still think that Daniil Mirimanov is trying to figure out who he is as a player. And I think the Flames are trying to figure out who he is or what he can be as a player. So when I think about the other defensemen the Flames have used this season, you know, it's very clear who Mackenzie Weegar is. First defenseman in NHL history to score 20 goals and block 200 shots in a season. He was their best blue liner a year ago. Rasmus Anderson has been their best defenseman so far this season, a guy who can quarterback a power play, much like Mackenzie Weegar can, a guy who plays on the edge and in the face of his opponents, and sometimes even in the face of opponents' fans that he's glaring down through the glass. But again, a guy who can play in all situations, you know exactly who and what Rasmus Anderson is. Kevin Ball, a big, strong, physical defensive defenseman. Good pair guy to pair with an offensive defenseman like Rasmus Anderson. Jake Bean, a guy who has an incredibly high hockey IQ, sees the game well, knows when to jump up and get involved in the rush. And I still think he's got a higher ceiling than what we've seen to this point in his NHL career, but I think he's played pretty well. And then the guy who I think has maybe surprised me the most, and maybe he hasn't even surprised me, maybe more just establishing himself as one of the top five defensemen on this team, is Braden Pahal. But again, we know who he is. He is the most physical defenseman they have. Kevin Ball's pretty physical. He's got more size, but Pahal, despite not being the biggest guy, plays like he's the biggest guy on the ice. And, you know, he's solid defensively, and you know what you're going to get from him. So, you know, he probably, for me at least, was a guy on the bubble of six or seven to start the year. But I think he's clearly been one of their best five players since the start of the preseason. So I come back to Daniil Miramanov. Who and what is he as a player? Is he an offensive guy? Because as Aaron pointed out, he doesn't have a point yet this season. And that's not the be-all, end-all. Sometimes you can create a lot offensively and not get goals and assists and get rewarded for that. But I don't think he's created a ton offensively. Defensively, there have been some lapses. So I think it's just a matter of Miramanov figuring out who he is in the NHL and being that player on a consistent basis. And this is probably just a one-game thing or a short-term thing. So I don't think he's going to be out of the lineup long-term, and he's going to get a chance to find his A game. But again, it's, for me, a numbers game. That the Flames have at least seven NHL defensemen on their roster, and if your game slips, you better be on high alert because there's somebody ready to take that spot.
Enjoy the rest of your Thursday, Willsey. Thank you, as always. We'll do it again on Friday.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
He is Derek Wills. He's Aaron Vickers. My name is Pat Steinberg. That'll start to wrap us up this hour on Flames Talk. Thanks to Cam and Shan, our producers, as well. And the Daily Flames Roundtable is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. The simpler way to sell your vehicle is with their expertise. Visit Mercedes-Benz Country Hills just minutes from the airport.